points. These are things that we would talk about more at length if we had more time, but we're not going to. So anything that creates a question for you, just reach out to me, reach out to your coach. We'll get these things taken care of. Just a reminder, we talked about it this morning, a morning with him. We are going to be allowing registrations probably right up almost till the day of. So we are seeing numbers climb each day, which we're excited about. I think part of it was that people just weren't even thinking about it until the calendar turned to April. But would really love to see more women attend. So anything you can do to encourage that, we would love that. We have a really special morning planned, so excited about that. Service project sign-up sheets. Obviously, a lot of you have already done that. Some of your groups haven't made your decision that. That's totally fine. The sheets are in back. We brought them here from the table. They will be on the registration table every week. So if there's a woman from your group who just wants to sign up for something on her own, she can do that. If you want to, you know, sign up, you get more money or you get more of something and you want to sign up for more lines, go ahead and do that. We will be assessing every week just to see kind of where we're at. And if there's a group that doesn't know what they want to do, we might direct them towards something just because we want to make sure we get good coverage about everything. And the reason we really need to know if you're doing your own project is our finance department. They don't need to know exact hours or exact money or anything. They just, it's kind of like, it's some version of like a gift in kind that they need to have for tax purposes and for the accounting firm that does the audit every year and stuff. So that's why we keep track of what groups do. We don't keep track of the exact amount of money or anything like that. All right, summer options. I know we can't even think about summer because it's just April and we just had Easter, but I wanted to fill you in on what we're thinking for this summer. I had been leaning toward doing a Bible study. I had shared with some people that we were considering doing Breathe, which is a Bible study by Priscilla Shire on Sabbath. I just had been feeling a check in my spirit, and so I did a little bit more research on it. I watched a couple of the videos. It was taped about 12 years ago at a conference, so it's just very different than any feel we've had for any other teaching we've had. And one of the reviews, and it's true, it feels like she's shouting at us. And it just felt like, I don't know if I want to learn about Sabbath when someone's shouting at me. And then the study itself isn't a Bible study. It's really more of a journal and more of an experience. And that was not really the feel I wanted for the summer. And so I decided to pivot from that. That was my decision. So if you don't like it, you can come and talk to just me about it. You don't have to talk to your coach about it because they didn't make that decision. I did. But what I've been leaning toward now is doing a really good nonfiction book on a topic. And the one I'm leaning toward right now is this book called Waiting Isn't a Waste by Mark Vrogup. He is the chair, what's it called, the director. He heads up the Gospel Coalition ministry, so that he's the president. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, he is a very, very good writer. It's an excellent topic. It's very accessible. You would be open to inviting people who don't even know the Lord to read this book. It is so good. And he has questions at the end of the chapters. So what I'm leaning toward is we would meet on June, they'd be four Tuesday nights. We'd meet on June 2nd, give out the books, have some time together, get to know each other, and then meet three more times on Tuesday nights discussing a third of the book. The whole book is 110, 115 pages long. It's not very long, and it's very accessible. So this is what I'm leaning toward doing, a really pertinent topic. And I've shared this with several other people on staff, and every one of them said, oh, I've given out like six copies of that book. They love this book. And so I just feel like that's where we're headed, but we're going to talk as a core team, combined core team next week, and make the decision. So if we pivot from this, you'll know why, because we've made a different decision. But that's for summer. And then we will do two fiction book clubs, one in June on a Thursday night and one in July on a Tuesday night. And we are going to jump on the bandwagon because I think it's a fabulous book, and we are doing Theo of Golden in June. Really, there's so many great things to discuss in there. And again, a super accessible book to bring someone who's never come to a book discussion at a church before. It's by Alan Levi. Great book. And so it's just it has so many great lessons in it. So that's June. July is TBD. So we don't know what we're doing in July yet. But, and if you have ideas on that for fiction books, let me know. And then we will be doing a summer resource sheet like we always do, both physical copies, but also we'll send it out to every woman who's in all of our Bible studies. So if you have books or podcasts or other things that you'd love to see on there, we try to update it. We don't want to keep the same books on there year after year, because then people think, oh, I've seen all that. So if you've read something new or you're listening to something new that you think would be good, just make sure you send it to me. Text me, call me, email me. Write it down. I mean, you could go old-fashioned and write it on a post-it note and hand it to me, whatever you want to do. But that's the summer resource sheet. We'll need to have that ready by May 5th and 6th, so we've got a little bit more time on that. All right, the curriculum selection for fall is underway. Whenever I say curriculum selection, in my head, I hear Hillary Mann's voice telling me, this will be her claim to fame with Place for You, that it's a false deadline to think that I have to have the fall curriculum chosen by the last week of Place for You. However, this year, we may actually have the fall curriculum chosen by the end of Place for You this spring. And that's because we're leaning toward doing From Beginning to Forever by Elizabeth Woodson, which is, the subtitle is A Study of the Grand Narrative of Scripture. So it's the story of Scripture, creation, fall, redemption, restoration, and it's kind of an overview. It's a 30,000-foot look at the Bible as a whole. Very, very well written. She teaches it, so this is something we're leaning toward the fall. Fits really well into our schedule in the fall. Would be something very different than anything we've done before. I mean, it would be, you'd think of it more like a topical type thing than it would be a study book of the Bible. But I was impressed when the women's ministry director at College Church said they do a meta-narrative study every 7 years. Because they think most studies show them that a woman or man is in a Bible study or in a ministry for 7 to 8 years. And so there's a guarantee then that everyone gets a study of the meta-narrative of Scripture, which is so foundational to Bible literacy. And so that's what we're leaning toward. But whether or not we'll have that decision made by May 5th and 6th is also to be determined. But I would encourage you to really join us in praying for that. Pray, when you sit down to do your Bible study on Esther, take a moment and pray for that process that the Lord would lead us. He's been so faithful for 30 years to lead us to the curriculum that we choose. I love what's happening right now with Esther. I mean, how would we have known 6 months ago, 9 months ago when we made this selection, what would be going on in Iran right now and all of the crossover and all of the things that are going on, and we're studying Esther. God is always in control of all of that, so we're just going to trust him for what we're going to be studying next year. All right, so big news for the women in the morning at Place for You. We are having our own celebration on the 6th of May. We're having brunch. Do you remember, does anybody remember when we used to have the brunches? Okay, we're bringing it back, girls. At least this year. If it's really hard, we're not doing it now after this year. But we're going to have breakfast together, brunch together in the gym. Dave Narup already knows. He knows we need a lot of tables and all that good stuff, so we're really excited about that. So we'll, the last week of Bible study is the 28th, where we're all, or the 28th, yeah, where we're all together finishing the last lesson seven, and then the next week will be the celebration. And like it was in the past, and like it was even when we're just in the East Worship Center, we'll have breakfast, and then we'll have about a 30-minute program at the most. It's a time to say thank you. It's a time to have communion together, to preview some things if we have those decisions made, so forth. So you'll have a full hour in your small group rooms, but we'll have had breakfast together around the table, so that'll be fun. And one of the things I'm praying about and looking into doing is that I don't want women who attend on Wednesday morning to be the ones that have to cook and clean up, nor do I want the women on Tuesday night to have to be the ones to do their dinner. So I'm hoping to find women from AM who will come at PM and make dinner for them, and some women from PM will come on Wednesday morning and make breakfast for us. So looking at us as one giant Bible study instead of two separate Bible studies. And just so you know, I told the ladies this last night, and they were pretty excited about this. Our current registration for Bible study, PM is only 30 women behind AM. Used to be one-third, two-thirds. Two-thirds used to come in the morning. Now we have almost 50-50. So that's pretty cool. It's really neat. Which leads me to my last announcement. We need new leaders. We need more leaders. We are growing as a ministry, which is a wonderful thing to be addressing, right? But we need more leaders. We don't want groups of 18 to 20 women. Okay, we want groups significantly smaller than that. And so you know the women in your group. I can't possibly know all of them. And I need you to begin to identify who could potentially be a leader and get those names to me. There'll be an email that I'll send to you soon, and you can send, you know, just reply and tell me various things. But here's the thing. I also need you all to begin praying and thinking about multiplication. I'm not asking you to divide your groups. I'm asking you to multiply your groups. That might mean that two women who have led together, perhaps for a long time, each find someone to co-lead with, and we multiply the groups. I know that's really hard for us, but I'll tell you, there are a lot of churches where every single Bible study, you're in a brand new group. I don't do that to you. But I want to make room for more women. I really do. And we need to have more leaders, and we need to have more groups. So I need you to be praying about that. I need you to be open to that. And I know that that's harder for some of you than others, but I really would love you to be in that process right now and just asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. So those are my announcements for today. You are free during this next time as the care team comes up to talk to us. You're free to get up and get more lunch if you need to, however that works. If you have to leave a little bit early, they're not going to think that you're offended by something they said and you need to leave. They're going to know that you have to be somewhere, and that's fine. But at this time, I'm super excited to welcome the care team up here. They presented last night, and it was fabulous. And we are recording it so that anyone who missed last night or today can actually hear everything. And there are handouts on the table, coaches, that have the place for you on the front of it. And you can pass those out to everyone so you can follow along. But I'm going to invite Becky Anderson to come on up. They're all going to introduce themselves, so I'll leave it to Becky. Turn this one on too. And there's her clicker.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies. So good to be with you. Yeah, I'm glad to see you handing out those handouts. That's going to guide our conversation today, and we're going to move through this content pretty quickly. And so we gave you as much of that content as we could so that if we have to fly over something, you can go back to it. So if we haven't met yet, my name is Becky Anderson, and I serve as the Director of Congregational Care here. And I lead an amazing team, Jason Severance, who is our Care Groups Director, Jennifer Bradburn, who is our Benevolence Coordinator, Courtney Bloom, who is our Administrative Assistant, and Stephen Hammer, who serves as our Traditional Worship Pastor and Associate Care Pastor. And so you're going to hear from two people besides me on the team in just a moment, but wanted to make sure you got to know and hear about our whole team. And over the past year, we're a brand new team in many ways. Over the past year, we've been working hard to bring more resources to help us better care for people that attend here at Wheaton Bible Church. So I know that there are people in Place For You Bible Study that don't call Wheaton Bible Church or Iglesia del Pueblo their home church, and that's great. We love that they come here. We always want to point them to the resources available for care at their church, and so I wanted to say that. Having said that, if those resources are not available, we can look and see how we can support them, and so we'll kind of say that in different ways throughout our talk this morning. So the first thing I want to point out to you is our care intake form. So as you encounter a woman in your group who presents a concern to you, and she's going through any number of different situations that you might encounter, and you know that that goes beyond the scope of what you can care for in the context of your group, we have developed a care intake form, which you have a hard copy version of in your packet. And this is designed to help us get more information about their situation so that we can then discern how to care for them. Who are the people that would be best involved, that should be involved? What kind of resources do they need? That's kind of the first step in helping us provide greater levels of care. The form, as you will see on the screen, there's a QR code up top. I believe in your folders for Place For You, you also have this QR code, so you can access that at any time. The form is designed to be filled out by the person that's needing care because they can provide the most amount of information. But it also could be filled out by any of you on behalf of someone else. And so there is a hard copy version. We would encourage you, though, to use the online version, and here's why. Because it's an interactive, they call it a dynamic form, meaning if you choose this option, then these questions come up. And if you choose this option, then these questions come up. So it's a little less intimidating than the hard copy form that has everything. So if you have a need in your group, that is a great next step to connect that person to our team for all the resources and care that we can provide. And so we're going to share more about that. And so with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jennifer, who's going to share more about benevolence.
Thanks, Becky. My name is Jennifer Bradburn, and I've been on staff since June of last year. So I'm coming up on a year. It's gone by really quick. So it's nice to meet all of you. I serve, as Becky said, as the benevolence coordinator for Wheaton Bible Church. And I am going to just talk a little bit about what the fund does and how you access it, all those good things. So as the slide says, that we offer a benevolence support to those who've been connected to Wheaton Bible Church for a minimum of 6 months. I'll talk about that a little bit later, but the fund essentially exists to provide financial support to members and those who've been connected to Wheaton Bible, those individuals that are facing financial hardship. And as you all are probably aware, there's been a lot going on in our country, in our community for some time, and we're seeing a lot of needs among our Wheaton Bible family members, folks that need some help during this time. And so it's another way for the church to express one of our core of values, which is to love one another. And we do this by practicing generosity and walking alongside each other to bear one another's burdens. And so, okay, we haven't switched. And so what the fund does is it provides short-term financial assistance that can help with rent, mortgage, utilities. If a person has, we will also help with some transportation costs, but these come up if there is an emergency or catastrophic situation. You know, if there is a sudden job loss or something that happens, that's what the fund is intended to do. It's not long-term assistance, it's really short-term emergency or catastrophic assistance. And as I mentioned earlier, the fund is available to help members and those who have been connected to Wheaton Bible through a worship service, Bible study, life group, Place for You. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Members don't have any participation time requirement. And as I mentioned earlier, those that are connected to Wheaton Bible have to have been so for at least 6 months. For those of folks who do, for those ladies that do attend Place for You, as Becky said, we do encourage people to check with their home church first, because a lot of churches in the community have resources and they have financial support and they can connect with other resources that they may know about. But if that isn't available, if it doesn't exist, please do direct them back to us and we will see how we can resource them. But at this time, I did want to make one other point. We do get requests from folks from the larger community that are looking for help, because even though DuPage County is heavily resourced and there is a lot of wonderful help that's available to people in need, a lot of times we'll get referrals for people to come to the church asking for help. But because our needs are so great within the church, at this time, benevolence is only available for members and those who are connected. And so just a little bit about the how. Becky mentioned earlier, the way to get the ball rolling is to complete the care intake form. And the individual will designate that they have a financial need. Those will get routed to me, and then we'll go further in the process. It involves them providing some additional information about the nature of the need. We ask for some supporting documentation, and then we have an intake meeting. But that's what the process looks like. And I just wanted to say that while financial assistance might be part of the response that we offer, we recognize that change often happens in community, right, through connection. It involves personal growth, relational growth, spiritual growth. And to that end, we also are looking at providing holistic care. And so that may mean connecting with pastoral support and so that our pastors can offer pastoral care. It also might mean a connection to a care group that Jason is going to talk about in a little bit. But our main goal at the end of the day is to walk with people through their journey. So that we're able to offer holistic care that reflects the heart of Jesus Christ and the gospel. So, thanks. And I'm going to turn it over to Jason now.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, so my name is Jason Severance, and my wife Kelly and I have been here since 2007. And I've had a chance to serve in a few different areas of the church, but I also joined staff in June with Jennifer, and I think I was maybe 1 week ahead or something like that. But it has been so good, and I do serve as the care group's director on our team. And so today I get to give you a brief overview of who our care groups are for, and then also what types of groups we offer here. So I'll start off. Just with who our groups are for, and our groups are really for anybody, whether they are plugged in here at the church or even if they've never stepped, you know, foot inside of a church before. And that's one of the things that I really have appreciated most about our groups is that it's a place where people come to the church and they're hurting, they may never have been in church before, they're looking for help, and we get to come alongside them and care for them and really introduce them to the church. So that is one aspect that I've really loved. But so just remember, it doesn't matter how long they've been at the church, if they are part of our church, if they're believers, not believers, our care groups are open to everybody. So what types of groups are offered? Our groups are places for people who are either currently going through or have experienced specific hardships. And you can see some of the hardships up there just in the names of the groups. But we know that our lives here on earth are filled with struggles, and we want to be a church that comes alongside people, cares for them, loves them, and really points them towards Jesus, who we all know is the only one that can offer the lasting hope and healing that they're looking for. And so for the sake of time, I'll let you read through the descriptions of our groups, and you can find those on page 3 and page 4 in your packet. But I do want to highlight a few changes that we've made this year. The first one is our Kids Crew group, and Kids Crew meets on Thursday nights, and our Kids Crew group is it's a group that helps kids anchor their lives to Christ as they navigate the storms of life. And so in the past, that has been only open to children whose parents were attending our care groups on Thursday nights. But this year, we made the decision to open it up to all kids birth through eighth grade. And so birth through preschool, that is more childcare. They're not going to be going through the same curriculum as the older kids, but the Kids Crew curriculum really starts in kindergarten and then carries through eighth grade. The second change that I'd want to point out is that we started a caregiver group this year, and this group is for people who are caring for either an aging or sick parent or spouse. And so we wanted to have kind of a specific niche that we were hoping to care for people in. And it's been so neat to see this group come together. I really feel like this is addressing a significant need in our church. As we've gone through the year, and I've had a chance to talk about it with people It's amazing how many people are struggling with this, you know, walking this through this season of life where they may have kids and also caring for parents and are just worn out. And so if you know people who are in that stage or maybe just now entering that stage, remind them they don't have to go through that alone. We have this group available, and please encourage them to join it. Another change is that we are relaunching Regeneration, and we are planning on doing that fall of this year. We are going through taking a pilot group of leaders through right now, and so please be praying for that. We need leaders to be able to launch the program this fall, and so hopefully everybody that's going through will be able to do that, but we'd appreciate your prayers there. And Regen is a little bit different than the rest of the groups that we offer. The rest of the groups are really like struggle specific, like I mentioned. Regen is a biblically based discipleship program that offers recovery, freedom, and healing from all sorts of struggles. And so if you look at page 5 in your packet, you'll see a list of 100-plus common struggles that is appropriate for Regen. And if you're brave enough, I encourage you to take the personal assessment there. you don't have to, but it really does just illustrate that Regen's for everybody. I mean, if you have a pulse and you're a sinner, Regen's for you. I would say, like I said, we're going through it right now as leaders, experiencing it for ourselves as we prepare to lead. And I have been so thankful personally just for the influence that it's had in my life and the growth that I've seen there. So if you have more questions about that or what it's appropriate for, anything like that, please feel free to reach out to me. The final three groups that I'd like to mention are our partner groups. That's back on page 4. You can see the descriptions there. And those groups are Administer Justice and Compass, and our Restore group, which is offered through Caring Network. And with any of these groups, you can find more information about them on our website, either on the care page or at the links that are listed for the partner groups. One other thing that I'd like to note is you'll see the asterisks up there for Financial Peace University and Grief Share. We currently offer FPU, Financial Peace University, in Spanish. We are also planning on launching Regen this fall, also in Spanish. And so we'll have those two groups definitely offered in Spanish. And we are also hoping to bring Grief Share in Spanish here shortly. So that's something that we're really excited about as well, being able to serve our IDP congregation in that way. Let's see, we're going to talk about our counseling resources. So as a church, we want to make sure that when people have requests for either people that they can go see for counseling, that we know that we have a list of people who we are comfortable with, that we trust, that we're happy to refer them to. And so we've developed this process where we have 19 different counselors in the area that we have vetted as a team and have approved, ready to be able to refer you to. And so if you have any questions as far as counselors for a specific struggle, or we even have like what type of insurances they take, all of that information, we'd love to share that with you. And so just a little bit on our process, we have two questionnaires that we ask them to fill out. The first one is more informational, and so that's where we get things like what type of insurance do you take, what are your specialties, those sorts of questions. And then the second questionnaire is more faith-based, and that's where we really want to try to identify what their faith means to them, how does Scripture inform how they approach counseling. That doesn't mean that they have to be using Scripture all the time as they counsel, but we want to make sure that the way that they approach counseling is in alignment with what we believe here at church. When we send people out to be cared for by these people. We want to make sure that we know how they're going to be counseled, the advice that they're getting, and want to be comfortable there. And so we've done that work. We are continuing to add people to that list. So if you send a request, you know, through the care intake form, and you're looking for a counselor, and you do that, you know, 1 month, a few months later, you come across it again, please submit that request again, because we are constantly adding people and that list is changing. And so we're not going to just hand that out, because it is changing all the time. The information is changing. But feel free to reach out if you ever have a question of who the church would recommend, or for a specific need, or just somebody to talk to. So, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason and Jennifer. I only hire Jays. All right. Well, we wanted to leave you today with a resource. We're going to take about 15 minutes to walk through this. If you have someone come to your, within your group, come to you with a concern, they're struggling through something, and you're like, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to go with that. We wanted to give you a resource that is a go-to for us. This comes from the book Instruments of the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp. This is a great resource if you ever want to explore that further. And it's called Circles of Responsibility. So there might be pieces of this that kind of sound familiar, but want to dive into the different ways that you can use this resource. And so one of the things that I wanted to point out to you, change. We want to acknowledge the process of change. In our culture, we love instantaneous change, right? Can this just be fixed right now? And it doesn't often work that way. God is really after transforming our hearts in so many ways. And so it's acknowledging genuine life change comes by applying what we know through practical, active, and biblical wisdom to provide steps and accountability to help move them in that direction. And we want to acknowledge many people struggle to know how to apply God's word to the situations and relationships in their lives. And so especially when emotions are high, when we're going through things, it's really hard to think and consider how God's word applies. And that's why the body of believers is so valuable in those moments. And so you can play a role in that as leaders. And remember, heart transformation takes time. And so every time we're coming alongside someone who's struggling in some way, in most cases, to help them be patient in the process as God is at work. And so as we approach any sort of concern or care situation where someone brings that to us, we want to remember three things. That person is a saint who is saved by God's grace. It's an opportunity every step of the way to point them to the gospel and what Jesus did for them. They are sinners in need of a savior and guidance from God's word and other believers to point us to how do we live in that sin struggle. And we're also sufferers because of the reality of the brokenness of this world. And oftentimes, we're navigating all three simultaneously. One second. So to use this resource, you can be anywhere, and all you need is a piece of paper, a whiteboard, or a napkin if you're in a coffee shop, and a writing tool. So that gets you started. And so what you're going to do is you're going to draw two circles. You're going to draw an inner circle that's a little bit smaller, and then you're going to draw a bigger circle, and you're going to see this in your notes. And the inner circle represents my responsibility. And so obviously if you're talking to someone else, you're saying, these are your responsibilities. These are things you're going to focus on. And so the inner circle represents things that God has called them to do that they cannot pass on to someone else. That this is something that they are, that we're trying to help them understand is their role in the concern they're facing. And that there's an opportunity for obedience in that. And then the outer circle represents a concern that they are feeling in that, and it's listening to them in that concern, and it's helping them understand how and what that looks like to entrust that over to God, because it's not something that they can change in of their own strength. And so identifying what those things are and helping them navigate that. So let's dig deeper a little bit. So as you hear about a concern, you're going to be listening. You're going to be seeking to understand what it is that they're, where they're stuck. You want to be listening for where they might be taking responsibility for things that are not theirs to take, and maybe not taking responsibility for some things that are theirs to take. And so then it's learning to apply God's word to their circumstances. And so I want to say in this moment, if somebody presents a concern to you, you may be quick to go, oh, I know what God's word says about that concern. And then there might be other concerns where you're like, I have no idea what God's word says about that concern. And that's okay. So in that moment, it's okay to listen to them, to pray with them, and to say, you know what? I know God's word has something to say about what you're walking through. Why don't you go back and do some research, look at the index in your Bible, explore a little bit, and see what you can find out about how God's word speaks to that. And then I'm going to do the same, and let's get back together, and let's compare notes. And so it's an opportunity for you to grow as a leader in how to care for that particular struggle and support that person in it. But it's also an opportunity to teach them how to feed on God's word in the midst of their concern. And so, but it's acknowledging, hey, we don't always have all the right answers in the moment. I certainly don't. And so it gives space for that. And so what are our goals? This is not in your notes, so feel free to write some of these in. One of the things that we want to acknowledge are what are the things, Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, that we need to put off, and what are the things that we need to put on? So that would be something to recognize for that, what is my responsibility, and what do I need to give over to God? What does God want them to think? What does God want them to desire, and what does God want them to do in those circumstances? What is the what, the how, the when, and the where of helping them move toward change, and kind of biblically based goals that apply to their situation? And what are some of the steps of obedience God is calling them to? And so this is an opportunity to kind of highlight one or two things, okay? We may not be able to tackle all these things in this moment, but how about one or two things that you can move toward experiencing more help and care in the midst of these struggles that you're going through? And so it's also acknowledging, is this a situation where the vertical relationship, where the relationship with the Lord is playing a part in this, or is it more horizontal? Relationships with others, or is it both? And so those are things that you're listening for and paying attention to. And then every step of the way, we are, again, seeking to understand what is it that God's word has to say about that matter. And then we want to acknowledge a couple things. I already went. Okay. I'm going to back up. Okay, so in the circles of responsibility, you'll see some arrows here. This arrow is pointing this direction, and it represents people who are extending or expanding the outer circle as they try to do God's job. Maybe you know some circumstances like that, or maybe you've been in circumstances like that. And then this arrow represents those who expect God to do what God has called them to do. And so those are things that you're listening for, and it's an opportunity to point those things out. So let me take that deeper and say, okay, let's look at three potential groups that we might encounter. One group is the irresponsible. These are people that fail to recognize and shoulder their God-given responsibilities. The over-responsible. These are people who take responsibility for things that God has not assigned or equipped them to do. Or the genuinely confused, who need clarification about what their role is and what they need to entrust to God. And the challenge, there's three we want to identify. One is the mini messiahs, again, those that take God's job. And it's helping them release to God what only he can do while taking responsibility for what it is that they themselves need to own in that. And what are their steps of obedience in that circumstance? And so it's recognizing our limits. That God is sovereign, and he's given us limits. We can refer back to Acts 17 in that, 24 through 28, and to remember God and his promises. And so it's understanding that it is possible that there is frustration if they are looking for God to fix something when it is clearly something God has assigned them to do. And on the flip side, it can also be frustrating if someone is trying to fix something that only God can fix. And so it's acknowledging that we can't change someone else. We can't change someone else's attitudes or behaviors or actions. In those moments, those are opportunities to entrust those things over to God. But what is it that God has called you to do? And so when this particular circles of responsibility has worked really well in marriage ministry, because oftentimes it's, I'm here to fix him or I'm here to fix her. And we're quick to say, nope, draw that circle around yourself and focus right here. What does God have for you? And so this kind of still, this applies in many ways in that context. But well beyond that as well. And so I want to now apply this to the topic of fear and anxiety. Is that topic that you guys see quite a bit in your groups? All right. So I'm going to pull that up. When we talk about fear and anxiety, one of the things we want to recognize is that sometimes ongoing anxiety needs the support of a trained counselor. And sometimes even a medical doctor. Hormones, ladies, hormones. It can point to some deeper trauma. Anxiety can be a symptom of deeper concerns that need to be attended to. And every step of the way, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us when those moments are that those two things apply. And so recognize when it's, hey, we're just learning how to bring our fears and anxieties before the Lord. And when those things point to some deeper issues that really need some greater support. So to acknowledge that both of those exist. So when we look at God's word, we want to look at the inner circle. What is their responsibility when they're struggling with fear and anxiety? Well, we can remind them that God's word challenges us not to be bound by fear, but in trust to give our worries and our concerns to the Lord. So here we can go to Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, that which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We might remind them that God promises eternal peace, joy, and rest for those who trust in him. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You might invite them to ask Christ for his peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4:7. We want to encourage them not to isolate, that when we're feeling fear and anxiety, oftentimes our desire is to withdraw, but that's when we need the body of believers in the struggle. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We want to recognize the importance of regular time in God's word and daily leaning on his goodness, his power, and his love. I love for fear and anxiety, oftentimes when it's sitting up in our heads stewing, it's not always very concrete. It's just this complicated mess of thoughts and feelings. And so it's really helpful in those moments to try to journal those out, get those out on paper, to try to bring some concrete nature to it so that you can better understand what's going on in your head and your heart. So again, if a counselor or doctor is needed, encourage them to pursue that. Breathing exercises are really helpful in this. It's recognizing what's going on in our bodies, because we're not just mind and soul, we're also body. And so breathing exercises, breathe in for four seconds, hold for 44 seconds, not 40, that would be really long. Breathe out for 4 seconds. Get out into nature, go for a walk, create time and space to attend to those fears and anxieties that are getting stirred up. And to let God's word remind them of his character, and that each opportunity to trust God is an opportunity to experience his power and his love. And we see that in James 4:6-8. So that's the inner circle. Those are things they can do in their fears and anxieties. So what do we point them to in the outer circle? Well, we might remind the person that anxiety and worry doesn't really solve the problem. And we see this in Matthew 6, 25 through 27, when Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what will you will eat or what you will drink." And toward the end, he said, "And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his his span of life?" And so it's kind of speaking to the reality that this isn't going to necessarily fix the problem. We might remind them that God is sovereign and in control. So often our anxieties and our fears come from things that are outside of our realm of control, and that feels very unsettling for us because we like to be in control. And every step of the way, God is reminding us that he's got it, that he is sovereign, he's in control. And I love Isaiah 40 for this, Isaiah 40, 28 to 29. "Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." We might remind them that God is bigger and stronger than any concern we face, and that we can rest in that truth as we abide in him. John 15, 5, we've been in the book of John, if you've been in Bible study for a while. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And so often when we're feeling anxious, we look to other things to try to settle the fear and anxiety. And God's saying, could you come and sit with me? Can you come and abide with me and allow me to bring you that peace that surpasses all understanding? And every step of the way, it's an opportunity in Romans 12, 2, to renew our minds in the truth from God's word. So we take those things that we've just heard and remind them to renew their minds on a regular basis with those truths, and to apply the things that that they can apply in those Bible verses. And so I'm going to go to the resources that are available to help you in this at the end. But before I do that, I want to apply this principle of circles of responsibility to you as leaders. And so for that, I'm going to go here. I don't know about you as a leader, as someone who provides care often for people with a heart that sometimes is really big and wants to help in great ways, it's recognizing that I have limitations, and you do too. And that's okay. God gave those to us for a reason. And so where is our inner circle as leaders? Our inner circle is recognizing Ephesians 4:15. "Instead, speak the truth in love, and we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." We want to recognize 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And so highlight those words, warn, encourage, help, and patience. How are you doing at those things when you're coming alongside others? In Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes." And this is really helpful for me to acknowledge that it is not my job to change someone else. God can use me to speak truth into them, to encourage them, to pray for them, but I can't change them. If they have a desire to obey, this came from God. And if they have a desire to change, this also came from God. These two things are not my responsibility. And so often over the years, as I've provided care for people, it's been recognizing that I can't want change for them more than they want it for themselves. And so there might be seasons where they need a little bit more push. They need a little bit more to get going, and that's okay. But over the long haul, if they keep coming back to you with the same concern over and over, and you're not seeing them be proactive and participating in the process of helping do the things in their inner circle that God has called them to do, that's an opportunity to step back and say, it's okay for me to pray for you. And you don't say this, but you you just pray for them and you entrust them over to God's sovereign care in that moment. And when you sense the Holy Spirit's working and there's a tenderness and a readiness to change, then that's an opportunity to jump in and participate in what God is doing. And so what that does is it helps keep you from burning out and trying to do God's job in many ways and trying to rescue them when they're not ready to be helped. That makes sense? Does it resonate? And so that's a great challenge that we often have as leaders. We find ourselves in those situations. And so with that, I want to close with resources. I'm going to move to the back of the room for this, if I can do that. And then we'll close out. All right. On the back of this table, I already showed you Instruments of the Redeemer's Hands. June Hunt has Counseling Through the Bible Handbook. And so this covers all kinds of different topics and Bible verses that apply to it. Scripture reference for counseling. This does the same thing. There are other resources like this out there. I love this book because I just think it's a practical book for how to come alongside people. And I love this title, Loving Messy People. The Messy Art of Helping One Another Become More Like Jesus. And so if you're encountering messy people, I'm a messy person. So this is an opportunity to learn a little bit more practical tools for how to navigate that. And then we've got some resources here specifically that will help those that are going through anxiety. We've got Finding Quiet. This is one that Hannibal has recommended from the platform on Sunday mornings. Try Softer is a book written by a counselor walking women through exercises that help them work through some of their fear and anxiety. Cry of the Soul by Dan Allender is really getting at the emotions that we are feeling and how do we process those, the lament. And in a similar way, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, for fear, anxiety, but also just overall lament for anyone that's going through a time of depression or sadness. These are good resources. And then we've got a lot of these little books. There's a lot more than these topics, but these are great for different topics that you can explore. This one's on conflict. We've got Hope in Depression, Freedom from Guilt, Teen's Guide to Anxiety, and more. And our business cards are back here. So if you have any questions or concerns, anything that we can do to support you as you lead groups, as we work together to help people understand how to apply God's word and the gospel to the circumstances in their lives in a way that allows them to experience greater freedom and greater growth in their relationship with the Lord. And so thank you for the opportunity to serve you this morning.
Becky, Jason, and Jennifer, thank you so much for this. We really, really appreciate it. We had a woman, one of the leaders last night, say to her coach, they need to take this to every adult community at Wheaton Bible Church. And then somebody's like, well, not just the adult communities, they take it to all the life group leaders. And, you know, it kind of became this conversation. And I think it's true. I think sometimes we don't know what's there. And so this was super, super helpful. And I love the tool that we were given today. I think we need to spend more time with it. I know I do. I'm going to take it home and look through it on my own. But I want to tell you, they are accessible people. You email them, you leave a voicemail message, they will get back to you. They care deeply for our congregation and the women in our care at Place for You, and they want to partner with us to be able to do that. All right, so it is 10 to 1. I know some people I need to leave, and that's fine, do that. But anybody who can stay, coaches, just finish up with your table. See if there's any questions about anything. Otherwise, we're free to go. And you will be getting, rather than having any more meetings the rest of this session, you'll get regular emails from me, and I am going to poke the coaches to then let you know that that email is there, because that's going to be kind of how we disseminate information rather than having another lunch or meeting. So just be reading your emails. I know we all prefer texts or voicemails or whatever, but I can't call 90 leaders, so we're going to work with email for now and maybe come up with something different for the future. But anyway, just be on top of that so that you know what's happening when. All right? Thank you so much, ladies, and we will see you soon.